Today, across the UK, and depending on which calendar you look at, because some celebrated this concept a couple of weeks ago, is Back to Church Sunday. Now, a lot of people came back to church yesterday. That was interesting. We had a fascinating afternoon of singing old choruses and jumping up to I Will Make You Fishers of Men and all those sorts of wonderful things that went on here yesterday. But the whole idea is that the invitation should be given to people to come back to church. Because we know, well, truly, how many have gone the other way. I want to take you back to those verses from Isaiah 30 that Major Susan read earlier. And this time I want to read these to you from the New Living Translation. Because within the New Living Translation of Isaiah chapter 30 verse 15, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. Let me say that again. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. And then later on, in verse 18, it says this: the Lord must wait for you to come to him. The Lord still waits for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion, for the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for him to help them. There's a sense here within our scriptures and within our thinking today of returning and waiting and receiving. But what do you think when you hear the word return to church? Well, some of you who are perhaps work in business, you know too well when you have to file your returns. Those of you who do self-assessment for your tax, is your self-assessment return still sitting in the in-tray like mine is? I think it's the 31st of October is deadline day for that. Let's get to it, my friends. What does return, though, mean in the context of spirituality, in the terms of church, in the terms of faith? I can tell you exactly what it is not. And those of you who enjoyed the paste sandwiches and jelly yesterday, returning to God is not a nostalgia trip. You can look at the pictures on the boards at the back of the hall. And that's great. And we had a wonderful time and friendships were reforged and new friendships made. But returning to a Sunday school reunion is not the same as returning to God. For returning to God is not some kind of regression or nostalgia. It's coming back to the heart of worship. For when we return, we find that God is there waiting for us. In all our wanderings and our here's and there's and to-ing and fro-ing, as was once said, if God seems absent, who moved? You remember that poster from the 1970s, I think it was? Returning indicates an absence, but God is not absent. And as the psalmist, as we've been reminded already before the band played, talks about this fountain and this the depth and the breadth of the love of God, so the psalmist again in Psalm 139 says, where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heights, if I go to the depths, you are there. Our God is a great big God. He's higher than a skyscraper. He's deeper than a submarine. He's wider than the universe and beyond our wildest dreams. You see, returning to God is not a physical journey. Although for some it may be, it may include that because of the very nature of returning to the physical geographic place, like coming here, for example, or wherever your church may be, if you're listening to this message on the internet, wherever your church or Salvation Army call is, then you must go there. You must gather with people of like minds. You must be in the place where you can share in fellowship, because it is in sharing in fellowship one with another, as I was reminded yesterday, that is the evidence that we are walking in the light. We can't escape from the presence of God, but sometimes we need to come back into the presence of God in a sense of reality. You know, sometimes returning is risky because things change. There were some people yesterday who said, the hall hasn't changed. Well, they didn't look very hard, did they? Well, I suppose not. The floor is probably the same. The wood panelling is pretty much as it used to be. The songster risers seem to have disappeared. Oh, I heard a few mutterings and mumblings there. I hope I haven't stood on anybody's toes by saying that. Oh, grief. Careful. But things change. You know the story of the prodigal son? When he came back home, things had changed. It wasn't the same place that he had left that time earlier. We don't know the backstory to a lot of that. We pretend, we conjecture over all that. But certainly the relationship with his brother was different. There were grumblings and moanings about, cool, it's not like it used to be. I'm talking about the prodigal son here, not about any church or Salvation Army you might attend. But people say that, don't they? Oh, it's not like it used to be. Well, thank goodness for that, I say. You know, when William Booth had the idea of stepping into the open-air ring on Mile End Waste back in 1865, and eventually for that to become the East London Christian Mission, if that had stayed exactly as he knew it at that point, we wouldn't be here now. And the Salvation Army would not be operating in 940 countries around the world. Because the Spirit of God has moved the people of God in such a way to move and transition and transform not only their mode of dress, but also their mode of operation. And for some people, that's hard to come to terms with, and we recognize that. And we want to love and care for those who are affected by change. And we do. I do. I want to. I want to try. And I want you to help me to do that. We're not going to have a revolution, don't worry. All right? But we cannot stay exactly where we were 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, because the Spirit of God moves and asks us to be relevant to the here and now in the way that Booth was relevant to his here and now, and that Augustine was relevant to his here and now, and Thomas Aquinas was relevant to his here and now, and the Apostle Paul was relevant to his here and now, as Peter and James and John were to their here and now. My friends, what is God saying to you? Albert Dalziel. Anyone remember Albert Dalziel? raise your hand. There's three of us. Well done. Okay, there's a few more. Okay. He wrote a chorus many, many years ago, and these are the words. Go back to the old wells where the waters are sweet. Go back to the old wells where joy and duty meet. The waters of the old wells will your spirit restore. Go right back to the dear old wells. Leave them no more. Well, it's a great band piece. It's a great chorus. Has its roots theologically in the story of Isaac as a man grown in Genesis 26, going back to the wells that his father Abraham had dug and had over the years been filled in and despoiled and all those sorts of things where they were no use anymore. He went back to Abraham's wells one by one and redug them and found that the water was still fresh and sweet. The prodigal son returned to home and found that the father's love for him was unchanged. We come week by week or on occasions into this place and things do change, but the message of God's love and the call to salvation to come, to return, to repent and to be still and wait in the presence of God so that you may be saved remains the same. That's what it should be about, my dear friends. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's about God in this place, being allowed to have his way in our lives so that when we move out of this place into our everyday going around lives, we may be that living sacrifice that God asks us to be. How can you affect positively the place where you will find yourself tomorrow? You can do it for a while without recourse to going back to the old wells, but I would reckon that it would become harder and harder if we did not have this as our source. We did not have God as our Saviour, our Lord, and our strength. What can we do? Well, we know, we've said already how weak we are. And so it is only in his strength can we do this.